remind you about our faith promise giving. Many of you possibly may not have been here Sunday when we started off with our faith promise. We will give these cards back out on Sunday, but they are available. I believe they ought to be available. If they're not, if the men can hear me to put these out on the Welcome Center out there, you can grab one of these on your way out. That'll be good. And God willing, on Sunday, we will pass these back out. We will be passing these out for about 3 or 4 weeks. It takes about that long or so on to get all the cards back in. Off to a great start, and we give the Lord all the glory and honor and praise. We're looking forward to how much the Lord brings in, because that determines how many missionaries more we can take on. So I encourage you to get involved in that. That'll be great. I want you to take your Bible, turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. It'll take me just a moment to get there. But you just be patient. Wait on me there. God willing, on Sunday we'll be going back to the book of Nehemiah. I have that message already prepared. Thought about preaching it tonight, but the Lord has put a hold on that and has laid this particular message on my heart. I'll be honest. This is a message that from the outset I had this in the Building Families of Faith series, but I skipped it, and I'm giving it tonight. It's one of those topics that all of us need to hear about. We heard a great message on it last week, this same topic, but I feel like the Lord has brought us back to this, especially as we prepare for the wall of Nehemiah and all these different kind of things. Let me encourage you that even when you're involved doing something for the Lord, we need this that I'm preaching on tonight, because without what I'm preaching on, and I'm preaching on prayer, the power will not be there. We've got to have God's Spirit and God's power behind everything that we do here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I want to just give you a Bible lesson tonight on prayer. And we're going to pray together. I'm going to dive right into this. It's going to take me just a moment to get to where I had you turn there in 2 Chronicles. Let's pray together, and I'm going to preach to you tonight on the topic of prayer. Our Father, we love you tonight. And I pray that you help us to do an accurate job with this message that you've laid on my heart. I thank you for it. Thank you for how you've challenged my own heart with this. Some of this will be repetitive to some of these dear folks, but I pray that you'll help us all not to miss what you're trying to tell us about this wonderful, wonderful thing that you've given to us, the avenue of prayer. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done this evening. Forgive our sins, and may you be honored, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 142:1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Do you understand that one of the greatest privileges that a child of God has is conversing directly with God Almighty? Let me say this to you. I do not feel worthy to preach on prayer. I don't know anybody that does. I do not want to give you the impression that I am the prayer warrior that I need to be. My prayer life needs to take a step up for the glory of God. So don't think I'm preaching this to you because I've arrived. I have not arrived. We all need these lessons on prayer tonight. Throughout Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ has invited, now get this, God the Father has through the Lord Jesus Christ invited His children to come into His presence through prayer. Now tonight we're going to look at this together, and we as God's children should take full advantage of this privilege in our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you a question. Is it important that you read God's Word? Sure it is. That's God speaking to you. But on top of that, it's also as important that you speak back to God. Take your own marriage. If you're married tonight, you take your marriage. Take my marriage. If I was the only one that did any speaking, but my wife never spoke back to me, that's not much of a fellowship that we have. On the flip side of it, if she does all the talking and I never speak back, that's still not very much fellowship. When it comes to fellowshipping with someone, it takes you talking, it takes you listening. It's a two-way street. Don't miss the fact that God desires for His children to pray. Now, you know, one of the great mysteries of the Word of God is that God is pretty much begging His children to talk to Him. Now, think with me just a moment how ridiculous that is. Think with me that the God of the universe wants you to come and speak to him. And how many times we neglect that wonderful privilege. For instance, there are people who look up to other people in life. There are some people in this life that maybe if they called you on the telephone and said, I want to meet you for lunch, you would literally jump out of your skin. They want to meet with me. They want to talk to me. And yet here's the God of the universe who's invited his children to come into his presence. Tonight we're going to look at this avenue of prayer together. And I want to share with you three things about it. It's been said that what a man is on his knees before God, that he is and nothing else. And folks, this could be said about a home. This could be said about individuals. This could be said about this church. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is what it is on its knees. Nothing more, nothing less. We need to be on our knees before our Heavenly Father. Amen. I'm going to give you three things about prayer tonight. Number one, we're going to look at prayer attitudes. Now, there's many of them, but for time's sake, I'm just going to give you two of them tonight. Within the pages of Scripture, we find several prayer attitudes that we are to have in coming directly into God's presence. Now, we're just going to look at two of them tonight. Attitudes, how you approach Him, in other words. Number one is the attitude of humility. This word humility means to subdue, be in subjection to bend the knee. It carries the idea of having or showing a conscience of one's defects. It carries the idea of being modest. Now, when we come to God in prayer, we should honor Him by our attitude of humility in His sight. Now, you're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Look at verse number 14. Perhaps one of the most familiar portions of all of Scripture concerning prayer. This is God speaking. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, there it is, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you're taking note, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse number 27, we're noticing the attitude of humility. God does not want you to come into His presence with pride. He doesn't want you to come into His presence demanding. He wants you to come into His presence depending. There's a big difference. He wants you to have the attitude of humility. 2 Chronicles 34, 27 says this, because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest His words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Psalm 9 verse 12 says, He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God wants your attitude in the prayer closet, first of all, to be an attitude of humility. Secondly, He wants you to have the attitude of faith. He wants you to come in humility, but He also wants you to come believing that He can answer your prayers. The Lord desires for His children not only to approach Him humbly, but also in faith, believing Him that He will answer according to His will, and whatever He answers is the best thing for us. Now, Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. James 1, 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We're just noticing, we're doing a Bible study tonight, if you will, on prayer. First of all, prayer attitudes. He wants it to be an attitude of humility. He wants it to be an attitude of faith. I give you this story right here, powerful story. During the Mau Mau uprising in Kenya in 1960, get this, don't miss it. Missionaries Matt and Laura Higgins were returning one night to Nairobi through the heart of Mau Mau territory. Now, in this territory, this is the same territory where Kenyans and missionaries alike had been killed and even dismembered. 17 miles outside of Nairobi, their Land Rover stopped on them. Higgins tried to repair the car in the dark but couldn't restart it, so they had to spend the night in their vehicle right in the middle of where people had been killed and dismembered. Obviously, they were scared to death, you know. But they had claimed, Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And they claimed that verse. In the morning, they were able to repair the car, and a few weeks later, they returned to America on furlough. They reported, I'm reading directly, they reported that the night before they left Nairobi, a local pastor had visited them, and he told how a member of the Mau Mau had confessed that he and three others had crept up to the car that night to kill the Higginses. But when they saw 16 men surrounding the car, they left the car in fear. The missionary said, 16 men? He couldn't figure it out. But while he was on furlough, a friend told him and asked the Higginses if they had been in any danger recently. The Higginses asked why. He said, well, on March the 23rd, which is the same day, God had placed a heavy burden on his heart. And he called the men of the church, and 16 of them met together. And they prayed until the burden lifted. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what all that means, but it sounds pretty good to me. And all I'm saying to you is that 16 men met together because they were under a heavy burden for one of their missionaries who they thought might be in danger. And that same night, those Mau Mau people started to surround that car, but they saw 16 men from somewhere that were surrounding that car in the middle of the night. Now, I don't know what that was. Could be that the Lord sent 16 angels to represent those men. I don't know what it was, but I do know this. God heard and answered their prayer. And I'm telling you tonight, we need to go to God with the attitude of humility. We're not coming to God demanding, look who I am, God. No, we come to God realizing that we have a privilege to speak to deity. Humility. And on top of that, faith. God wants us to believe Him. He wants us to trust Him. Secondly, we're going to notice tonight not only prayer attitudes, but secondly, prayer approaches. And there's three of these I'm going to give you tonight. We find in the Word of God several ways in which we as God's children are to approach Him in prayer. Let me just show you three of them. First of all, He wants us to approach Him faithfully. Faithfully. In other words, consistently. The Lord desires for His children to come to Him in prayer faithfully. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. One day George Mueller began praying for five of his friends. After many months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, two others were converted. It took 25 years before the fourth man was saved, and Mueller, he just kept on praying in prayer until his death for the fifth friend, and throughout those 52 years, he never gave up hoping that he would accept Christ, and his faith was rewarded, for soon after Mueller's death, and I'm talking about right here, soon after his funeral, that last person he prayed for 52 years trusted Christ as his Savior. Now, I don't know about you, that convicts me. Here's a man that kept holding on to God, holding on to God, holding on to God, holding on to God, and yet we pray for something one time, if it doesn't come, we get discouraged. Ever been there? Now, I'm saying he wants us to approach him faithfully. He wants a faithful approach. It's been stated, and I quote directly here, they just don't make missionaries like William Carey. Carey changed the history of missions and the face of India 200 years ago. Matter of fact, a lot of people know the name William Carey. But you may have never heard about his sister. His sister was paralyzed, and she was bedridden for 50 years. And although she was unable to speak for much of that period with great effort, she allowed herself to be propped up in bed, and she wrote long, encouraging letters to her brother, and she prayed for him several hours every day for 50 years. That's encouraging, isn't it? You might know William Carey. You might not know her right here, his sister's name, but I guarantee you God knows her, and that's really all that matters, isn't it? I'm saying he wants a faithful approach. How do you approach him? Faithfully. The Bible teaches us over in the book of Luke. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to, but if you'd like to, you can. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10 here, talking about how he wants us to have a faithful approach. Approach him faithfully, consistently. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. In other words, his consistency, his faithfulness. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, what's the principle that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here? What's the major thought he's trying to get across? He's saying you need to pray and keep on praying. Because he said even if you have a friend and you go to him late at night and that guy's in bed and you knock on his door and say, I need some food, I've had unexpected company. He said even though he will not get out of the bed because he likes you, he will get out of the bed just so you'll leave him alone. And he's saying, just like that person would refuse to stop knocking, God says, I want you to refuse to stop knocking. Keep coming. Keep praying. Keep seeking. He wants us to have a faithful approach. Secondly, he wants us to have a fervent approach. Now, the Lord desires his children to mean business when they come into his presence. The word fervent means it carries the idea of earnest. In other words, you're not just lollygagging around when you go into his presence. Well, Lord, I guess if you want to do something, if you don't mind, then forget it, folks. Don't even pray if you're going to pray that way. God says, I want you to come to me faithfully, but then I want you to come to me fervently, with enthusiasm. You know, it's amazing to me, we're all guilty of this, how we get so excited about trivial things. How we get so excited about things like a ball game. Been there, done that, still happens. You understand what I'm saying? We can watch a TV game, I'm talking about a football game, and our team's getting beat, whatever the case may be, and our blood pressure goes sky high. You're tempted to take the remote and throw it to the TV. You know what you're doing at that time? You're showing fervency. Doesn't mean it's good fervency, but you're showing fervency. You're active. You're meaning business with it. God says when you come into my presence meaning business. You come wanting to get a hold of me, and you come earnestly. The Word of God tells us in the book of James, chapter number 5, verses 16 and 17, it makes this statement. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. So you can take the word fervent and earnestly and connect it. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In First Kings chapter number 17, verses 20 through 22, it says this. It says, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? By slaying her son. This is Elijah. This is after the widow's son has died, and he's praying over this boy here. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now I want you to go back with me in your mind to this time right here in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now here Elijah stepped into town. This is the widow here who has just a little bit of meal. You remember the story, just a little bit of oil on the cruise and a little bit of meal. And Elijah said, I'm hungry. I'm paraphrasing.
And she said, I've only got enough for me and my son, my only son, to make one meal, and we're going to die. And he said, feed me first, and you'll have enough. Remember the story, don't you? So she did that, and the barrel of oil, and God just miraculously started providing for this lady. That's another sermon. I'm tempted so much to get off on that. But right here, Elijah's is here again now. And that boy has died. He's put into a predicament. The boy is up in another place, and Elijah goes into that room with that dead boy's carcass right there in front of him. Now, I want you to imagine that you're in that room with Elijah. How do you think he prayed? Do you think it was, you know, God, if you're not busy with something else, and I tell you what, it's not really important, but if you could help me, that'd be great. No. You know how Elijah prayed? He prayed with fervency, folks. He prayed from his heart. When's the last time? Now, I'm not talking about physically here, but I'm saying, and I'm convicted here, but when's the last time you wore yourself out in the prayer closet? When's the last time you wore yourself out talking to God? That's convicting. And all I'm saying to you is that we're looking at prayer tonight, just a Bible study on prayer. We're looking at prayer attitudes. There's many of them, but the two I shared with you is humility. You don't come to Him in pride. You come to Him depending upon Him. You come to Him with faith, believing that He's able to answer you if He so desires and wills. You approach Him faithfully. You just keep on praying. You don't ever stop. You approach Him fervently. You get down and mean business with God. Somebody said it's not the arithmetic of our prayers, how many they are. It's not the rhetoric of our prayers, how eloquent they are. It's not the geometry of our prayers, how long they are. It's not the logic of our prayers, how argumentative they may be. It's not the method of our prayers, how orderly they may be. It's the fervency of spirit, which availeth much. That's what God said. Looking at these prayer approaches, then number three under this, the third approach that I want to give you, a faithful approach, a fervent approach, number three, a free approach. Now, what does this mean? This means that God wants His children to be clean. When we come into His presence, He wants us to be free from sin. That doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it means that you're living a clean life. The Word of God says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, what's that mean? It means exactly what it says. If I know sin's in my heart and I do not confess it, God says, okay, don't pray. I'm not listening. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen to me, please. You do not know when you need to get another prayer through. You don't. We need listen, we're dependent on Him for every breath. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But before you get home tonight, something might hit your family and you need desperately to get a hold of God. If there's sin in your heart right now and you know there's sin there, and you refuse to confess it and ask God to forgive you, you're not getting saved again. I'm talking to God's children. You're just taking a bath, if you will, spiritually cleaning up. If you're dirty and you know it, but you like it, and you need to get a hold of Him, He's not listening. That's enough right there to stay right with God, folks. Amen. I'll amen myself tonight. Because I know from experience that every now and then I'm talking about, bang, there it is. I've got to get a hold of God. But if I've got, if I've got sin in my heart, the heavens is a brass to me and He's not listening to me. That's what God teaches. The Word of God says in John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, Him He heareth. Powerful verse.
God wants our approach to be faithful. He wants our approach to be fervent. He wants our approach to be free. Number one, prayer attitudes. Number two, prayer approaches. Number three, prayer answers. This is what I said in my prayer here just a moment ago. It's going to get repetitive for some of you, because I'm going to go back over the three main answers that God gives to prayer. Now, it's important to note that God Almighty knows the beginning from the end. He really does. The only thing we see is what's here and now. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You can look back and say, why'd that happen? Yes, you can look back. But folks, God sees the end from the beginning and everything in between. In other words, the Lord knows best. He really does. And in the pages of Scripture, I see three main answers that he may choose to give to our prayers. This is so vitally important that you understand this truth. I've given it before, and I'll give it again, God willing, if God gives me life. Because it's so vitally important that you understand this. We live in a society, in my opinion, who believe, I'm talking about Christians, who believe that if God does not give what they ask, He did not answer them. We live in a society that if they don't get what they want, then God didn't keep His word. You know I know what I'm talking about. In the Word of God, there are different answers. And as we approach Him faithfully, fervently, freely, with humility and in faith, then we must trust Him to give the right answer. Are you following me? Three of them. Number one, He can answer with a yes. Some biblical examples of this would be 1 Samuel chapter 1. The lady's name is Hannah. She is barren. She has no children. She specifically asked for a boy child, a male child. Did God answer her prayers? Yes. What was His answer? Yes, I will do that. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:27, for this is Hannah saying, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of Him. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 12, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but in Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, and then verses 12 through 17, here's what it says. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Verse 12 says this, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. The point here is this. In verse number 5, these people are gathered, not ceasing in prayer, for Peter. And God gave them an answer of, yes, I will release it. And he had the power to do it. He smote him on the side, his chains fell off of him, and he went right by the prison guard and everything else. God has power to do anything he wants to do, folks. And he chooses every now and then to say yes, if it's best for you. But number two, he can also give you a no. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Paul, the great Christian, said, for this thing, talking about the thorn in his flesh, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Put it in today's terminology. God said no. Paul said, this thing is killing me.
God, take it out of me. God, take it out of me. God, take it out of me 3 times. And God's answer came back and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He's saying, I will not take it out of your flesh. My answer is no, Paul. But don't miss the point that a no is just as much an answer to prayer as a yes is. It's not that God doesn't hear your prayers. It's that he might not answer it the way you wanted him to answer it. But his answer is always best. You see this also in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 and 16, where the word of God tells us this. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. This is David and Bathsheba's a child after their adulterous relationship. Now get this, verse 16, David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And in verses 22 and 23, here's what it says. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. The point here is this. Whenever this child was struck, God's judgment, David started begging God for the child. Oh God, take care of him. Oh God, don't let him die. Oh God, answer my prayer. Oh God, oh God. And God answered his prayer, but it was a no. Sounds heartless, doesn't it? But it goes back to approaching him with faith that he always knows best, folks. Do you believe that tonight? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to live through it, isn't it? He always knows best. Then number three, he can answer with a wait. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all of it. But you know the story in John chapter 11. Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus is only sick. Remember the story? The Bible says that his sisters sent unto Jesus. They sent for him. That's a picture of prayer. It's a picture. And the Bible says, do you remember what the Lord did? The Bible says he remained where he was for 2 days. Remember the story? So when he finally came on the scene, Lazarus had now died and had been in the grave for 4 days. Now, I could take the time to explain why. I'll just simply say that all hope had vanished, so to speak. Because they thought that on the 4th day that the spirit would take its flight. There's no hope. Even though you and I know that's not what happens. It was being taught back in that day that for 3 days the spirit would hover around the grave trying to get back in the body, trying to get back in the body. But when the 4th day came, corruption set in and the spirit said there's no hope. That's the same day Jesus stepped in town. And you know the story. He went to the tomb. He had him roll it away and he called him out. But here's the point. When they called for him, he answered with wait. One of the hardest things for a Christian to do is wait. No doubt about it. We want it now and not it before yesterday. And every now and then God has you wait. Now I've already said this right here, but let me just give you some scripture. We ought to back everything we say up with Scripture. Amen? The Word of God is where the power comes from. The reason He gives us different answers, I've already said it, but the reason He gives us different answers is because He answers His children who are speaking to Him freely. You understand what I'm saying? Fervently, faithfully, with humility and in faith, He'll answer you with a yes, no, or wait according to His will. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, according to His will, He heareth us. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, here's what Jesus said. Great mystery, because Jesus is God. He's God the Son. But yet when He's speaking to His Father, He said, Father, if Thou be willing,
remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Nobody is going to get to the depths of that verse, folks. You can't explain that verse. Nobody can.
How does God ask God if it's his will when it's not his will?
I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just simply trying to say this. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us an example.
He's saying, as the Son, I am coming into subjection to the Father, and I'm saying, not my will, but thine be done. If thou be willing, let it pass from me. What was his answer?
No.
Aren't you glad the cup didn't pass from Jesus Christ? Are you yes or no, folks?
Yes.
Amen. And I'm saying that we need to leave our petitions at God's feet and trust him and allow him to answer us according to his will.
D.L. Moody said this, spread out your petition before God and then say, thy will, not mine be done. The sweetest lesson I have learned in God's school is to let the Lord choose for me. I'm just about through. Stay with me here. This poem goes like this. Pray on when rough and dark your pathway and you cannot see the light. When every spark of hope has vanished and bright day has turned to night. Pray on, for God does surely hear you, noting well each sad request. Pray then in faith, truly believing that he always gives what's best. Somebody said, Lord, I'm so discouraged, I don't know what to do. I have so many burdens, and I gave them all to you. But you didn't take them, Jesus. Will you tell me why that's so? The answer's simply a little one. Because you won't let go. Let go and let God have his way. Prayer simply, in conclusion, is surrender. You're surrendering to God's will that you will go into his presence. You're understanding that he is God, and whatever he chooses is best. And you want to live a life so that when you pray, you know he's listening to you. But I don't know if I've ever heard it explained any better than this. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. Now listen to me. If I throw out of a boat a hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and start pulling, are you listening? Do I pull the shore to me, or am I pulling myself to the shore? It's not a trick question. I know you're tired. You've been working, a lot of you, all day long. And that's like, what did he just say? Honey, what's that mean? You know? I'm saying, picture you're in a boat. There's land way over there. You got a hook with a rope on it, and you throw it out, and it latches onto the land, and you start pulling with all of your might. Is the boat moving with you in it, or is the land moving to the boat? The boat's moving, isn't it? Here's what it is. Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will to the will of God. It takes faith to accept no. It takes faith to accept wait. It takes faith to believe it was God when the answer is yes. You ever had this thought come across your mind? Whenever you pray for something and it happens and you start trying to rationalize it, am I sure that wasn't coincidence? That's the devil. I'm saying God wants us to pray. Now here's my simple question. Just a Bible study tonight. I didn't do a very good job at it, but it's a Bible study on prayer. How's your prayer life? How is it? How's your prayer attitudes? Are you truly humble when you come into God's presence? Are you truly living by faith when you come into his presence? Are you coming into his presence faithfully, or has your prayer life kind of dwindled? You coming into his presence fervently, or are you just kind of just hop, skipping, and jumping around? Are you coming into his presence free from sin? I'm not saying you're perfect, but I'm asking, are you clean?
And maybe somebody's been praying for something for a while and you feel like the answer's not come.
What's the biblical advice? Keep on praying till light shines through. Right? Like preacher said, the Lord will answer. He will answer you. It may not be a yes. It might be a no. It might be a wait. But any three of those is a direct answer to prayer by God. Do you understand? Don't forget it. Because in American Christianity, if you ask for a knife and you don't get it, God didn't answer your prayer. It could be that God knew that you was going to stab yourself if he gave you that knife. So he said, no, that's bad for you. I know what's best. Do you understand what I've taught you tonight? Do you get it? This is what we need in our lives. A more consistent prayer life. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, I pray. Help me, Lord, and my prayer life to be more than it is. God, help us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as she gets prepared there, she's going to begin to play through softly. How's your prayer life tonight? How's your family prayer life? How are you approaching God? How's your attitude in prayer? Has God said no to something and you thought he hasn't answered your prayer? Has he said wait on something and you're having trouble with it? What is it? What is it? Have you ever prayed to receive the Lord as your Savior? Is that possible that somebody's here like that? Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible. Share with you how Jesus loves you so much. He died for you. If you'll trust him as your Savior, he'll save you today. Father, take this, use it in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As she's playing through, maybe God's dealing with your heart. And right now, right now, right now, if God's speaking to you, would you leave your place and would you come to this altar? Come now. Come right now. You say, this is something I need. My prayer life needs to take a step in direction toward God. My prayer life, my attitudes, my approaches, the answers. I need to trust the Lord. Some of you need to come and say, God, I need to trust you with this. Help me to trust you with it. Help me to trust you with this. God, help you. May the Lord help you to respond. No doubt about it. What number is that? If you're still seated, I'd like you to take your hymnal, turn the page. 361. Folks are praying. We'll give them time to pray. And I want to say to you again, I almost feel like a hypocrite preaching on prayer. We all need it. I need it. You need it. Let's make sure that we're doing it. Amen. Let's sing this together. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ our Savior? Helps you tonight. God help you with it. Let's be dismissed in prayer. I'm gonna go ahead and dismiss all the bus captains. If you'll go to your meeting, that'll be great. Outstanding. Appreciate you. Appreciate what you're doing. Be much in prayer about Sunday night, especially Sunday morning also, but especially Sunday night as we reveal this Nehemiah wall, this outreach wall for people to get involved, help us reach people. Be praying about it. And let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to him. Pray to him. Let him speak to us through his word. Okay, let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Okay, appreciate you coming tonight. No doubt about it. All right? Brother Bob Bryant, sir, if you wouldn't mind to close us in prayer, please.